A majority of Americans think schools are placing too much emphasis on the wrong subjects and that schools are only doing a fair job in preparing children for the real world, according to a poll released on Friday. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine, and we'll poll you for your thoughts on the quality of a public school education this hour. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, June the 30th. It's good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And it's also good to have with us as well Mark Shug, who is a professor emeritus of education at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
This poll was conducted by the Associated Press. It was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It covered a lot of territory dealing with education, but let's just start with this overall result that most of us say the quality of education in our local public schools is good or excellent. 54% said that. 46% said that the quality of education, though, was only fair or poor or even very poor. What do you make of that perception? It's more positive than negative, but why do you think we aren't giving our schools better ratings?
Well, I think if you look at the other side of that number, the minority parents, you know, were considerably below that.
That's right.
And that might help explain some of this outcome. Many Americans wind up in school districts that they're happy with. That, you know, typically your family moves to a district that, and if you ask locally, if you dig down a little bit lower on that, most of the national studies, you know, usually this Gallup study that's done every September, shows that a lot of Americans are satisfied with their public schools. You know, like I say, especially when you dig a little bit deeper. And in one sense, that's no surprise. That's where they chose to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to get the more negative results from minority parents who, you know, feel that they don't have the same kinds of choices. You know, they're more likely to be enrolled in large urban districts, which are, you know, by just about anybody's measure, not as successful as many of the suburban districts. And rural people might feel some of the same issue, where they don't have a lot of choice. There's not a strong private sector in a lot of the small towns in northern Wisconsin, for example. So they might feel, too, that they don't have a lot of choice about the kind of schools they have.
Yeah. Well, one of the results of this poll that's making the headlines is that we think schools are maybe not putting the proper emphasis on the best subjects. So we think that we should have more of an emphasis placed on math. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it does. It's interesting to me exactly how this poll unfolds. Yeah, a lot of parents think that we should be doing more for math. But what I wonder about that is that really a call for increased amount of time for math? I mean, in our elementary schools, it's really almost hard to imagine spending much more time on math and reading. In many, many elementary schools today, it's 60 minutes, 90 minutes spent in reading, 60 minutes spent in math. I think the way I'd interpret this result is not so much a call for an increased amount of time on math, but better outcomes. You know, kids are taking math in high school, but they're not performing very well, and they're starting pretty far back in international comparisons, and even from, you know, comparisons back to the 50s and 60s, kids on math scores are not doing all that well.
Yeah, but then would we conclude then that we think that the kids are doing fairly well? English and history and government, those were issues that parents said.
The national numbers, at least, aren't very positive on really any of these things. Kids in history, certainly. According to the National Assessment of Educational Progress results, kids don't do very well in math, or excuse me, in history.
Mm-hmm.
Scores have been trailing somewhat up in math and pretty flat in reading. It depends a little bit by grade level, too. I mean, we have to be a little bit careful here. But overall, I think it's a story of kind of flat performance over a long time, sometimes seriously behind in the case of history. Interestingly, one of the more upbeat National Assessment of Educational Progress reports was in the area of economics. It turned out kids did reasonably well in terms of their understanding of basic economics. That was done just with 12th graders.
Okay. Well, in fact, that's one of the areas that concerns you a lot. You have been an advocate for better or more financial literacy to be taught in schools, right?
Well, both financial and economic literacy in general. My take on it is that things really have changed over the last 25 years. Joy, if we had this conversation 25 years ago, I wouldn't have been such a strong advocate. But today, things really have changed. I mean, you know full well, people, how we do retirement accounts have changed. Just about everybody now in the private sector has a 401k plan as opposed to the old retirement plans that used to be able to get. Now, really public employees are the last ones that get those kinds of pension funds. The number of products has just exploded. The amount of information has exploded. This all amounts to a lot more responsibility placed on individuals to make decisions about their financial welfare. And in terms of general economics, you can barely open the newspaper. Read Barack Obama, read John McCain, and it's very hard to, look at their economic policies and make sense of them if you don't know some basic economics.
Yeah. We will talk more about poll results. One of the poll results, we don't think our schools are doing a great job preparing kids for the real world. We'll talk a little bit more about that after the weather break. And we want to know what you think of public school education today, how it can be improved. If you had to choose, is there one subject you think students should spend more time studying in school? Would it be math or English, government, financial literacy, something else? 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Mark Shug. He is a professor emeritus of education at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, just about 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, June the 30th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 4, Ben and his political scientist guest, David Cannon, will discuss the top news from Washington. That's after 4 this afternoon. We are talking about a recent poll released on Friday that says parents are worried that schools aren't preparing kids for the real world. We don't think our schools are doing a great job preparing our children for the real world. And we're also talking about what kids should be learning in schools today, what subjects could use a boost. This poll from the AP says that most of us think that math needs to be concentrated more on in school. We wonder if that makes sense to you, if you share these concerns. What do you think should happen to improve public school education today? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Mark Shug. He is Professor Emeritus of Education at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And we're polling you this hour. What should schools be placing more emphasis on or maybe less emphasis on? What do you think, Professor Shug, about teaching kids the skills they'll need, survival skills they'll need to survive as adults? We don't think schools are doing quite as a good a job doing that.
Well, I think parents would have a very legitimate worry here. I mean, after all, they're on the hook for how well their, the ultimate success of their kids or not. So I can see where that would worry lots of parents. You know, the poll also shows that schools, at 61% are among parents are doing a good job of preparing kids for college, and 57% say they're doing a reasonably good job for preparing for the workforce. So there might be a little contradiction here. I mean, but schools typically have had the reputation, for many, many years of doing an okay job in terms of getting kids ready to, say, enter a two-year or four-year college and less of a good job if they were really planning to enter the workforce right after or go to a two-year or technical school. So I think those are legitimate concerns that parents would worry about.
What would it be that schools would do to give children the practical skills they will need to survive as adults? What could they be doing?
Well, that's, I think, the hard nut to try to crack here. Certainly there's different levels of mathematics and English and social studies that can be learned. But I think it becomes kind of a problem that for schools who are really trying to essentially provide one kind of program for all kids, and that probably just doesn't play out, you know, that we probably need a more opportunities within schools and maybe between schools for parents to have more choices. Because you know, overall, I think these numbers are generally low. I mean, I would expect parents to feel a little more satisfied with the offerings that they're seeing. And so maybe some kind of more specialized different kinds of schools. I mean, you know, charter schools try to a certain extent to offer some specialization. It'd be interesting to break these numbers down once and see if parents, say, in a charter school or some other kind of specialty school might be a little more lined up, you know, with what the mission of the school is, and therefore be a little more satisfied.
I'm wondering, too, there was some questions about whether we like the idea of standardized tests or not in this poll. I mean, is there concern that maybe teachers are teaching to the test and not so much these other subjects?
Well, we can only speculate. I mean, parents aren't all excited about these kinds of tests. On the other hand, they are very excited about very excited overstates it, but they do think that performance on these kinds of tests should also be used as rewards for teachers to help compensate how well teachers are doing. So, again, there's a little schizophrenia running through this thing. On the one hand, I think there's no doubt that people would feel a lot better with their children being held accountable for the kind of work they're actually doing in school. And that comes through this, you know, kind of loud and clear that, you know, what their actual schoolwork is, how they're doing on their homework, how they're doing on the tests in school, that they feel more at ease with that. And those probably, in some ways, are better estimates of what kids learn. Nonetheless, it's also true that standardized testing is not the kind of testing we had 20, 30 years ago. I mean, much of the standardized testing we have today is really very impressive. I'm not really talking about so much about state testing, but now there are many districts in Wisconsin that are experimenting. There's one group called NWEA that you may have heard of, this Midwest Evaluation Association, Northwest Evaluation Association. They're out of Portland. And many districts in the state are now using their testing regime, which is actually a very impressive, very rich regime of test items. So I think as parents maybe get to know some of these newer systems, they might feel a little better about them.
Yeah, let's get some callers and lots who want to talk about this. Darlene in Mount Horeb is first. Hi, Darlene.
Hi. What I would like to comment on is math education, which I think is incredibly important. And I think one of the big problems is that, you know, in your last six grades of school, if you have one good math teacher, you're doing really well. Another issue related to that is the fact that I think math, like music, requires a lot of practice for most people. And both parents and students aren't willing to practice mathematics. And I think that adds to the problem.
Professor Shuck?
Well, Darlene and I could become good, fast friends. I agree with her on both points. We really have trouble finding good math teachers. And, I mean, big urban districts, there are kids that will have two and three math teachers in 1 year. And those folks, God bless them, they're probably not quite at the level that you'd hope. You know, we have a big problem with the salary schedule in public schools, and that salary schedule pays all teachers as if they had the same skill set. And it's just true that teachers that have math and science backgrounds, you know, they can demand much more in the private sector, and they're very more likely to go that way. I mean, we're talking a big discrepancy here in terms of beginning salaries. So it's very hard to attract high-quality math teachers, and Darlene is just right about this. If you have consistently weak teachers in math, you're going to have kids that are going to be falling far behind. And the other issue of practice, I think, is critical. I do think lots of people need lots of what some people call drill and kill, what those of us who are more sympathetic to this idea call practice. I mean, you know, to go over it and go over it until some of these, especially the more routine things, become automatic.
Yeah. Next we go to Rose Vidawolk in La Crescent. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm always interested in this subject, and I grew up in Europe, in Vienna, Austria, and although it was stressful times post-Second World War, we still had a very thorough background in music and the arts, and I know that I have a master's degree in family counseling, and studies of education have always interested me, and they had found already good 20 years ago that the spatial development of the brain is much enhanced when you have a lot of music education, especially the old music, as they call the classical music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the survey of all things, music and the arts were subjects that the general public and parents didn't worry too much about whether schools are spending enough time on those.
Right. And for me, I guess it comes down to, as a parent, once I saw that the educational system here did not agree with my philosophy, and then, of course, I had an opportunity to have music at home a lot, and I still believe that it could be parents' responsibility more than the schools. I know many parents nowadays need to work, both of them, but you still could have a thorough music education at home and go back to the old ways of maybe learning an instrument and playing music at home. And
mm-hmm. Professor Shug, what do you think?
Well, you can tell Rose's background from Europe stands out because it is much more common in European schools to have athletics and many things happen after school. So I'm sympathetic to her point about parents taking more responsibility. But I even though the poll it doesn't show music and art as being a matter of great stress, I think lots and lots of parents out there really are interested in having music and art be an important part of the program. But on the other hand, when it comes down to the kind of financial payoff in schools, it's true that having good math skills, good science skills, for parents that are worried about their children going out into the world and being successful, which I think every parent feels, those are the subjects that have more economic value, even mm-hmm. though I think we'd argue certainly music, art, literature are very important to being able to live a good life.
Do you happen to know of research that might connect music and math? Rose was talking about how...
Yeah, there are some studies out there. The ones I'm a little more familiar with have to do... with foreign language having a bearing on how well people do overall mm-hmm. academically. And I'm sure it wouldn't take us long to turn up a study or two, especially in regards to music.
Yeah, I'll bet too. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we'll continue talking about whether our schools are teaching our kids what they need to know. Our discussion prompted by a new poll from the Associated Press, showing that many of us are worried that schools are not preparing kids for the real world, and we think that some subjects are getting the short shrift and should be given more attention in the classroom, like math. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Mark Shrug. He is a professor emeritus of education at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Remember that song, Inchworm? It helped a lot of us learn how to add, and we play it because we are talking this hour about how schools might do a better job teaching kids about math and other subjects. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 now on this Monday, June the 30th. A new poll that is out finds that many parents and the general public are worried that schools aren't preparing kids well enough for the real world and believe that maybe schools putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong subjects. We think that we need more of a push for math, according to this poll. We're wondering what you think, what questions you have, how might we better improve the way we teach kids about these subjects. How might we better prepare students for the real world? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mark Shug, our guest, Professor Emeritus of Education at UW-Milwaukee, and our next caller is Steve in Wauwatosa. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I called in. I was interested in kind of knowing about how the poll was asked, how the questions were asked, because my concern is, in talking about what you've been calling the real world, I put that in quotes, kind of, because to me, there's two things I think we want to teach our kids. One, indeed, is how to have enough skills to fit into the society that already exists. But another part, which I think is equally or even more important, is are we teaching our kids actually how to change the society? Are we making kids that are creative, that are willing to look at our society and say, well, I don't have to just fit into what exists. I can make it better. I can have skills that go beyond what I'm supposed to do and make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good point. I mean, the real world wording actually comes from the headlines from this poll. There are a number of questions. Do you think your local public school is doing a good job in preparing students for college, preparing students for the workforce, giving children the practical skills that they will need to survive as adults? So, that those were some of the questions. There were many, many questions that were asked in this particular poll. But without going into all the methodology of this poll, Professor Shug, what about our schools doing a good job maybe teaching our children how to change the world?
Well, that's been one of the big divisions in education for many, many years. There's one group of people in, say, schools of education that argue kids really should kind of do more what's reflected in this poll, that is, learn how to sort of get along in the world, whether it's at the college level or on the workforce or whatever. And others that say schools should be change agents and ginning up change for the future. I think probably the bias of this poll, if that's not too strong a term, but I think what they're really reflecting here is what parents feel in general. Mm-hmm. I think most parents are not really into setting the stage for the new revolution. I think they're much more interested in having their children do well in the world. I mean, being a parent is a big responsibility, and I think most parents would be satisfied if their children can get to college, graduate, have good families, and get on with their lives, as opposed to working as social change agents. But there's a role for that, certainly, and certainly our education system should be rich enough so that parents that are interested in transformational kinds of education should have some opportunities for placing their students in those kinds of programs.
Thanks, Steve, for the call. David in Broadhead is with us now. Hi, David.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I guess I'd like to put in a little plug for a topic a couple days ago, caffeine and cardine in the morning, if I could. But
Thank you.
On the topic there, I actually think in the English department, more emphasis should be put on technical writing rather than the fictional works that they do so much of, and technical writing being used for dissecting contracts and such, and as well as I think even dissecting patents. And you can mix technical writing in with any other subject, such as medicine and biology and a lot of real-world uses, I think. And I at least when I went to school, that department was sorely missed, I think, on my end.
Do our schools even do that at all, Professor Shug, as far as I know?
I don't think we do much of that until, you get into some aspects of it in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I think David raises a very good point. I think the curriculum leaders could be criticized for perhaps, and it's not that technical writing or reading material should dominate, it's just that it's probably just a completely misset. There's nothing there. It's all literature and creative writing, as opposed to you know, more technical kind of writing, and that's where some of this disconnect probably comes. I mean, what we find that we do in most of our work world is, you know, the writing of memos that have to confer certain factual information and do it in a very clear, well-organized, coherent way. And maybe we don't stress enough of that. I'd join in with David in arguing, too, that we do a lot of fiction reading, and it'd probably be good to do more nonfiction reading, and that would help especially in areas of the social sciences where there's a lot of kind of narrative and expository text to read. And again, in your job, that's much more likely what you're going to encounter.
Now Mike in Appleton is with us. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I have a boy who's going into high school this fall, and while I find the subject interesting, you know, as to what should be done and what's going on now, my concern is that he's starting now, and so what can I as a parent do? There's no way that I can gauge if his math teachers are, you know, good or bad.
Yeah.
What can I do specifically to help him, let's say, in math? Let me give you an example of what I do on his reading and writing. He has the requirement to read constantly, and I make him write essays constantly because in my real world, my everyday work world, the reading skills and writing skills of my peers is absolutely atrocious. It's amazing. And so on the reading part and the writing part, that, you know, that's what I'm doing. What can I do on the math part?
Well, Mike, I would my strong advice would be to get over to the school, talk with the guidance counselor, get hold of the curriculum booklet that outlines the math program, and then, you know, why don't you ask for a copy of those books and see what that program really entails. There are all kinds of sources available from the internet and bookstores that could help you a lot. I mean, you seem to be very engaged in terms of your son's education. And so I don't think it would take you long, but that's where I'd start. I'd get an outline of what the courses are, what your student's schedule looks like right now in terms of the mathematics program that the track that he's in right now, and then I would go from there to research it further to see what kinds of decisions need to be made. You know, is this matching up with the kind of thing that you think your son should be having? So I think you've got a rich opportunity here, and this is exactly the right time to get involved.
Mike, thanks very much, and good luck to you. There was a math teacher who was quoted in one of the stories written about this poll on Friday who says that parents may want more math in school because they feel unprepared to help with it at home. Math is the subject that most parents are intimidated by, this teacher said. We've allowed a lot of kids to say, I'm not good at math, and then those kids become parents.
Well, this is just a good point, I think, and especially today, some of the math curricula have changed quite a bit, and students can, even at the elementary level, especially at the elementary level, kids can be bringing home assignments, and parents are just at sea on how to even help. And so, you know, these become very large issues if the schools can't get the kind of support that they would normally get at home in terms of teaching mathematics. At the risk of going on and on, you have the same kinds of issues in economics and personal finance, where today the financial world is so much more complicated than it used to be. Parents also feel some of their financial behavior might not always be in line with what they'd want their children to do.
Yeah. We are talking about a poll released on Friday, done by the Associated Press, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, that says more of us think more math should be taught in school, or at least more of an emphasis should be placed on math in our public schools. We believe that our schools are placing too much emphasis on the wrong subjects, and more than half of us think that our schools are just doing a fair job in preparing children for the workforce or giving them the practical skills they need to survive as adults. We are polling you on what you think should be taught more in school, or what kind of a job you think schools are doing in preparing our students. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, June the 30th. Coming up after 7, Wisconsin has a global warming plan on the table, and we will talk with a number of guests at state energy conservation and other ways to reduce global warming emissions in the state of Wisconsin. That's coming up as we talk about the governor's global warming task force recommendations in our next hour in our state capitol report. We're talking about whether our schools are teaching our kids what they need to know during this hour, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, Mark Shug, Professor Emeritus of Education at UW-Milwaukee. Eugene in Viola is with us now. Hi, Eugene. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
We do not teach penmanship anymore. Particularly, I'm referring to Palmer penmanship. Yeah. And if you use the Palmer method, you take people in their 70s and 80s probably now. If they were taught Palmer method, not only is their penmanship better, it's faster, and you can read what they write.
Is the Palmer method the one that has the Q in cursive looking like a 2, Eugene?
Yes, it is. But your two fingers go down, your palm, your thumb comes up, and your pen points toward your shoulder, and your paper slants away, and you use your whole arm. I went to a two-day institute in Mitchell, South Dakota in the mid-60s, and they had a gentleman there from the Palmer Penmanship Company. He went to the chalkboard and with his right hand wrote, "All good men must come to the aid of the party." Then with his left hand and both at the same time. And it's a penmanship I have seen in people that outrank me on age. Some of it is just very, very good. And we just don't do that anymore.
Because kids are probably using computers and word processing to type their papers, I bet, Professor Shug. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're probably right, but you gotta love Eugene for his comment. The Palmer method had been around for a long, long time, but yeah, I suspect he's right that, and probably for the reasons you provide, Joy, that penmanship doesn't get quite the emphasis that it used to, and certainly I'm a bad example.
Me too. You know what, though? I had decent handwriting when I was a kid, and it just got worse and worse as I got
older. Well, and I think, every day we're keyboarding all the time, and that's my story, is that I think I'm on the keyboard all the time, and my penmanship itself just has gotten worse and worse. It's back to our lack of practice thing that we talked about with Darlene a long time ago. If you don't keep practicing those skills, they begin to erode on you.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Do you happen to know, Professor Shug? In third grade, are kids learning how to write cursive?
Oh, yeah. There's still emphasis on penmanship, and, kids, if you go down to grades first and second grade, you'll see the very familiar kinds of sheets of paper that have the lines real large so kids can learn how to write within it and so forth. We still certainly have that in schools, but Eugene's right, it's not the level of emphasis that it used to be, but it's not the mode of communication probably that we use as much. I mean, we used to depend a lot more on oral skills as well. There used to be courses in rhetoric. And so much of content that we learned would be passed down orally. And again, that's a little less the case today than it was, we're really talking now 100 years ago.
Yeah. Eugene, thank you so much for the call. John in Park Falls emphasizes the importance of the arts. He writes, "Music, drama, creative writing, and the graphic arts encourage students to think creatively, and that may be of more value in the future than rote learning. Studies show that graduates today may have as many as 6 different careers in their future, and that 4 of those career choices do not even exist yet. Being able to problem solve and think outside the box will be of increasing importance. The danger is that with stressed school budgets and failed referenda to raise school revenues, the arts are too often the first programs to be cut." Professor Shug?
Well, 2 thoughts on John's comment. First is, if the arts are suffering, the parents in these areas need to take some responsibility in terms of advocating this. I mean, again, this AP poll shows that this is not a big issue with lots of parents. I mean, that's rule number one. Second thing is, I don't think that we should let John slide off easily with just saying what's going on in schools is rote learning. I think an awful lot of success today depends on having very good understanding of basic content and having some control of factual information, as well as higher level content as well. And so it's too easy just to brush off what we ask kids to know in school as being rote learning. Much of this rote is in many ways the eyes of the beholder. Do we expect kids to have a basic understanding of the geography of the country, of how our economy works, of basic mathematics, and so forth? I think most of us would agree that kids need that kind of understanding.
David in Milwaukee is with us now. Good morning.
Morning. Hi. I'll preface mine by saying that I'm a principal of an alternative school who teaches kids who've been kind of set out from Milwaukee public schools for behavioral issues and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a growing population, not only in Milwaukee, but in a lot of places, of a lot of kids who just feel like school's not for them, like it's not the answer for finding success for them. And those people who currently are finding success in school, I think they do a good job of, they're going to do a good job in any environment. And for those kids who are not quite fitting in, I think we need to spend a lot more time working on creating engagement for those students and creating impassioned learners who then, we need to do that early on so that when they get to those middle and upper grades, they're passionate about going out and finding knowledge for themselves, and we can offer them those skills, those needed skills, at a time and in a way that really feeds that appetite in those students.
Mm-hmm. Professor Shug?
Well, two quick comments for David, and I'm very sympathetic. I'm in the Milwaukee area, and I think it's very important to have these kinds of choices available. David knows, and I'm keenly aware of the fact that when we have set up alternative schools and charter schools, the first kids out and the first parents that take their kids out of regular public schools usually are the kids that are having trouble. They're at some risk of dropping out. That's not the way a lot of critics thought this was going to go. But good in any environment, the kids left in the school are going to be good in any environment. No, I don't think so. We really have issues here with lack of performance at the high end. And this is really a critical point. We have kids who are not learning high-level math and science. We've got kids in graduate school who we really see the distinction between Asian kids and American kids in terms of their math skills and their science skills, and we really see this at the higher level, higher education level. And so, no, those kids that are doing reasonably okay in the academic programs and the more regular college-oriented track, I think those kids really need some stepping up as well. Good examples of things that have been working well, I think, are the advanced placement programs in lots and lots of high schools. I think that shows an interest on the part of parents and schools to try and provide more for the higher-end kids. But I don't think we're done with that job, especially when you look at the international comparisons.
And Matt in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Matt.
Hi. My question is about learning goals.
I'm sorry, about what?
Yeah, my question is about learning goals.
Okay.
If we focused more on, say, education for careers instead of a broad foundational education, do you think we would be more competitive in the math and sciences globally?
Well, Matt, I'm concerned about careers, and in schools that I'm involved with, we do spend some time working on career education, but I guess I'm still very sympathetic to kind of, one of the real strengths of the American system is that we do tend to train, educate kids for a wide range of things, especially early on, and I know this has been experimented with, especially in Germany, and you'll remember with the state of Wisconsin, you tried to imitate stuff that was going on in Germany instead of in terms of workforce preparation. That's essentially all been abandoned. Not all, but much of it has been abandoned because it turns out that the economy is changing so fast that it's so hard to be able to know what career to prepare for. So many people in the private sector would prefer, hey, give us kids that are smart, articulate, can write, and can think, and we'll help do some of the final training that they need to get ready for these jobs that are going to, as one earlier caller said, are probably going to change several times as people go through their careers.
The poll also asked respondents, how much of an impact does the quality of a country's educational system have on a country's overall economic prosperity? And it looks like almost 100% thought it had a very large impact.
Well, this is a case where the parents are being very smart. This lack of performance in math turns out to be very important. There's one study by a guy named John Bishop that says that gross domestic product would be 1% higher if our kids had better math skills. Mm-hmm. And this is an economy of, you know, like $11 trillion. So you, in absolute terms, the fact that we are not producing the kind of high-level math skills in our kids that we need is actually economically breathtaking.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it there because we're out of time. Professor Shug, thanks very much. It was nice talking to you again.
Joy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Mark Shug, Professor Emeritus of Education at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. We thank him for being with us. We thank you for your calls. I thank the caller who had the proposed name for this program, Caffeine and Cardine. We'll add that one to the list of possible names for the program. And we thank Michelle Kofel and Cynthia Schuster and Rob Ferret for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.